Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, that was fun. So, today we're continuing our series, Fresh Start, and we're looking at Fresh Start Parenting. And that said it all. So we're doing this series. We're in this series, Fresh Start. We're taking a look at a fresh start of a lot of different aspects of life. And we've been looking at a fresh start at heart, and a fresh start at church, and a fresh start at marriage, fresh start at family. We looked at fresh start at finances. Next week, we're going to look at a fresh start at hope, and I'm looking forward to that. And I even have it up here. After that, we're starting a new series called Presents, just in time for Christmas. And we're going to look at a different kind of presence. And I'm going to trip over things. So today we're looking at Fresh Start at Parenting. And as we've done throughout the series, we've kind of focused on this one verse throughout the series, just Exodus 6:1, where it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do.'" I love that whole transition in the story of Moses when God steps in. And really, that's what we've been talking about. And that's what we've been looking at, is God stepping into our life and making a fresh start, a great change, transition in what we're doing. Now, I was thinking about this. This is one of the things that, with the parent rap, one of the things he said that Now, we used to be cool, now we're exhausted. Did you catch that? And I remember, and I forewarned Zach. Zach's playing heavily in this message. Zach was a little guy, and he was probably 3, maybe 4. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I am dead out. And 3 in the morning. You know, it's got to be a fire or something, because I'm just out. And I hear, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad." And I'm like, what? You know, there's got to be something. What? And he goes, "Dad, what's the capital of Peru?" I'm not kidding. Now, at that moment, what's the capital of Peru? And I'm like, look, I see my clock, it's about 3 a.m. And I don't know where I got this. I don't know where it came through. It because usually I'm half out of it. And I thought, I could tell him Lima and he'll go away. But then he'll come back with what's the capital of something else. And what am I going to do then? And so I don't want to give him the answer. It will just encourage this behavior. And this is running through my head. And then I came up with this. And I said, "Zach, we'll talk about it in the morning. It's 3 a.m. There's only one question you're allowed to ask at 3 a.m. And that is, how do I stop the bleeding?" That's the only question I want to hear at 3 a.m. And that has become a story in our house, not to wake up mom and dad in the middle of the night. There's only one question you're allowed to ask at that time. Well, parenting. How do you do that? And I don't know where I had the wit to come up with that question at that hour and so forth. But how do we do this thing? How does parenting, happen? And how do we do it right? Well, throughout this series, we've been focusing on two things that work best together. One is the wisdom of the Word, and the second is the power of God. And how do those things work together to create in us a fresh start? Today, a fresh start at parenting. And our main text today is in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4. And we're going to, Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 4. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. And this is probably the most influential passage of Judaism for millennia. Deuteronomy 6, 4. 9. I'll read it. I'll talk about that for a little bit. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Well, for a lot of us, we might read that passage and we'll go, well, why is that one so important? And so today, as we talk about our first thing we're going to talk about is how to impress your kids. And we're going to look a little differently than what might sense, but how do we impress our kids? Well, this is the first scripture of the Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word that means hear, and that's the first line of this. Hear, O Israel. And so hear is the prayer that Jews speak. Observant, Bible-believing Jews will say the Shema in their prayer time twice a day. And it's the key verse to their prayer service. And so twice a day, Jesus would have prayed this prayer. There are three passages that they pray. They pray this one first, and then there's two others in the Torah, in the law. But this one is first, and this one is the central text to their prayer language. It is the most influential text in their life. It's the one that they pray it twice a day. And every observant Jew wants to die. Their hope, the hope that they have, is to die with these words on their lips. That's what they want their last words to be. These words that I just read to you. Well, I want to stop for a minute and say, well, that's neat. There's a whole lot in this text. There's a whole bunch in it. But I want to just take a look at it from a parenting angle and say, you know, there's something really fascinating about the Jewish people. There's a lot of things very fascinating about the Jewish people, but one of the things that are very famous, that's very interesting about them, is that from 70 AD, shortly after the time of Jesus, they were scattered. Rome took over their land, and they were scattered across the world. And all the way to 1948, when Israel became a nation again, they were scattered into other lands, other languages, other cultures. And then they were brought back in 1948. And one of the many interesting things about this people is that the day they got off the plane, they could all talk to each other. They came from all over all the countries of the world, but they could talk to each other because they had all taught their children Hebrew. And so their first language might be Russian or Polish or English or whatever, but they all knew Hebrew. They all knew the Jewish scriptures. They knew this stuff. And I think it has a lot to do with this passage being so central in their life. Well, even though I want to focus on the parenting part, I can't but talk about the first line here. To love the Lord holistically. To love the Lord with all your heart. And this word heart here in Hebrew, leb, is your inner life. So it includes your thought life, but also your emotion and your intention. And to love the Lord with your soul, the very center of your person. And to love the Lord with your strength. And the ancient rabbis of Jesus' time would say, that's not just your physical strength, but that's also your social influence and your financial strength and every bit of impact that you can have. That's your strength. Love the Lord with that. Love the Lord holistically. And then it goes on to a holistic parenting plan. So we love the Lord holistically, but we also have a holistic parenting plan. In this, we need to realize that we are one generation away. We are one generation away. We're one generation away from the greatest awakening our planet has ever seen. And we're one generation from Christianity fading off into a little sideline, a little subculture. We're one generation away. And one of the things that we see in Deuteronomy is this need to tell our kids, impact our kids. this is a holistic parenting plan. And notice first just the practical stuff. First, he says that this is to be on your hearts. This word is to be on your hearts. And when the word is in our heart, it comes out, right? And so we're to have this word in our hearts. That affects our inner life, and that affects everything else. He goes on and he says, talk about this. Talk about this. And he lists several different ways. You talk about it at home. Talk about this. Talk about this at home. And then talk about it when you're on a trip. And for them, it was walking. As you walk along the road, for us, we're driving along. We're talking about it. And then talk about it when you lie down. Talk about it when you get up. Talk about this. One of the best things we can do as parents is to talk about the Lord. Talk about the Word. Talk about Him. We are impressing our kids with that. We're impressing them with all the good things. He goes on and he says, tie them as symbols around your hands and your forehead. And this is a passage that observant Jews take very literally, with something called a phylactery. Here's a picture of a guy with a phylactery. And phylacteries, it's not showing up as bright, but they have these long bands that they, as they're praying, they wrap around their arms, and then there's a little box. You can see one there right at his bicep. In the box, they put scriptures that they're praying about. So that's part of the prayer, is they take the scripture, they roll it up, and they put it in the box as they're praying. And then they take one, and they have them a lot of times on both arms, and then they have one that they wrap around their forehead. You can see maybe a little box on his forehead, and a little black box, and again, they put scriptures that they're praying about, and they put it on their forehead. Well, and just so you know how popular culture is in this community, there's also Phylactery Barbie. There's Barbie right here. So your little girl can have Phylactery Barbie, and see she has a little box and the thing tied around her arm, and there's one on her forehead there, so it works, right? Just still fits in. Well, we don't need to necessarily take this quite so literally, but one of the things that he say is bind them as symbols on your head and on your hands. Bind them as symbols. And so one of the things that we can do in life to impact and impress upon our kids is to have a lot of symbols in life. Things that remind us of God and His Word, His truth, His renewing power. Those symbols make all the difference. And then he says, Scripture says, write them on the door frames of your gates and of your house. I don't know if you've seen this, as I've gone to different houses, I've seen where there's actually this text on the side of the door. And that is something, again, that people do very literally, and that's good. Another way to look at this, too, is that our life is marked by the Word of God. He says, mark your doorposts, mark your gates. Our life needs to be marked with the power, the presence, and the Word of God. In all of this, you see how central the Word of God is? You see how central that is and how much of an impact that has, that daily life has on our kids? That is remarkable. Continuing on this, with a question. Devotions or devotion? Devotions or devotion? That's one of the things that I get of when I we get when I read this, and how integrated the Word of God is in their daily life as they're getting up and as they pray and as they walk in and out their door and as they travel. The Word of God is integrated into their life. And so a little challenge that I have for myself is devotions or devotion? You see, I think devotions, that time in the morning when we might read a chapter out of the Bible or two, and we have a time of prayer, quiet time, reflection, in the morning, some people it's better in the evening, a time of devotions is very powerful. I love it. It has to be more than that. Because it's too easy, I know, close the book, to go out of my day and not have this integrated life that we're seeing in this text. And to live a life of devotion to God includes a whole lot more than devotions. It challenges me to integrate God's Word into my daily life more and more. To have a Word-centered life. That's powerful. Now that's challenging. Just a couple chapters before this, in Deuteronomy 4:9, the Bible says, only be careful, it says, God giving a warning, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that you have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Oh, wow. You see that? Again, we have the same kind of thought that we're seeing in this text, the Shema. The same kind of thought. First, that we're to impress, we're to teach to our kids and to their kids what we have seen and heard and what's going on. But there's also two marvelous parts we see here. It says, do not forget. And it says, do not let it slip from your heart. And so there's a head and heart thing going on here. There's two big parts of our inner life, our emotions and our will and our feelings and our intellect and our behavior, our action, all woven up together. Do not let this slip from you. Keep it dear. Keep it centered. That's how we impress our kids. That's how we impact them. Yeah. That's how we touch them. Well, continuing on, all of this leads to the next step, and that is how to transform your children. Forewarning Zach that he plays heavily on this message. There was a time a couple years ago that we were driving and talking, and I said, "Hey Zach, what would you say were the biggest impacts on you as a kid to grow up to be a good kid? What impacted you most? What made the big difference for you?" And he said, "Oh, Dad, that's easy." And I went, "Oh, nice." And that's easy. Three things. And he said, "One, we didn't just attend church, we were involved in church. We've always been involved in church. Secondly, you've always been very involved in our education. And third, a strict media policy." Now, by the way, strict media policy is that we're pretty strict on what we let our kids, what video games we let them play, what movies they watch, what TV they watch. There's a lot of things that they've not gotten to see, and it says PG-13, in my house it's PG-16, or whatever, There's a lot of things that we say, no, we're not going to let you watch that, and it's caused a lot of arguments over the years. Well, one of the things that made me smile on this is that, can I tell you the three things we fought with him most when he was 14? Being involved in church, being involved in school, in his education, and media policy. And there was some tension there during that year, but later, we see the impact that it had. Well, how do we transform that? The principles of God, His Word, make an amazing difference in our everyday life. The power of God makes an even bigger impact. The Word of God, Jesus tells us this, is to lead us to Him, to His presence. We need the power of God in our life. More than just knowing about and the great principles He lays down for us, but knowing Him. So pray for your kids. The first class of prayer I call the E prayers. We pray for safety, and we pray for healthy, and we pray for happy kids, right? And so those are the E prayers. And I call that kind of first level prayer, and that's something we need to do. We need to pray for safety and healthy and happy kids. We also need to pray relational prayers. We pray for their friends, their influences in their life. We pray for their future spouses. We pray for their imperfect parents. We are imperfect parents. God knows that. We pray for His empowerment and His leading, His grace in our lives, because we are that huge impact in their lives. We pray for their receptive hearts to accept Jesus, to have for that time when faith moves from being the faith of their parents to being their own faith. And we pray for their guidance by the Spirit of God. All of that comes together to make an incredible difference as we introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ. We need to invite the Holy Spirit into our life and home as well. I'm going to read just a story really out of 1 Samuel. And I think it has a great deal of bearing on parenting. This is 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. And you'll see, it's really a story. And it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under the authority of Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions." Sounds familiar to me. "One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak so he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Go back and lie down.'" Sounds familiar too. So he went and lay down. "Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not know the Lord yet. The word of God had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling yet another time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" I think that real life story has a great deal of impact on our lives today. See, first, I believe that God still speaks to little boys and little girls. And secondly, we need to create a home that is saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The Spirit revolutionized Samuel's life from that day forward. His life was changed forever. The impact Samuel had on his world was profound. Our job as parents is to create "your servant is listening" kind of home. Make that part of family cultures. Fun with toys is our American culture, right? I like toys. I like having fun with toys. But more and more, we need to have it "your servant is listening" culture in our homes. And then, thirdly, in this portion of transforming our kids, do the do's. Do the do's. Not just don't the don'ts, right? We got a lot of great principles in Scripture that every one of them are healthy living, just a better life kind of principles. But a lot of times we focused on don't do this and don't do that. And guess what? When we don't, those things are dangerous. Don't do them. But if our focus is on doing the do's of Scripture, we won't even have time for the don'ts. So do the do's. Your kids need to see your Christ-inspired, Christ-centered generosity, compassion, action, the do's. Scripture talks a lot about doing these things anonymously so that God gets all the credit. We need to include our family in that anonymity. We need to include them so that they can see it modeled before them. And no one knows but God and them. Us. We give thanks to God that we had the opportunity to make a difference. Our kids need to see that. So, how to impress your kids, how to transform your kids, and last, how to dance with your kids. Life's a dance, really. I see that a lot. We have a lot of different kinds of dance. Well, we make an impact on our kids, but we have different kind of goals. And Zach being forewarned that he plays a lot of roles in this message. One night I was tucking him in and we're having a time of prayer. And he looks up to me and he's a little guy. He goes, "Dad, I just like Buzz Lightyear." And I'm like, "Really? Wow, that's good. Tell me, how are you like Buzz Lightyear?" He goes, "Because I have a destiny." And I thought, yes, we're getting through. He's caught this. This is good. God has a destiny for you. And Buzz Lightyear kind of brought that home for him. That was great. Well, we dance with our kids to get this message across to them, this life that we have. See, the most significant visions are not cast by the great orators on stage. They're cast at the bedsides of the children. That's what makes the difference. And as we look at parenting, we need to understand that there are competing goals happening here. See, parents, we have goals for our kids, right? We want them to be godly, and we want them to be hardworking. We want them to be respectful and serving. We want them to be compassionate and prepared. But you know, just as we have goals for our kids have goals for us, right? They include keys, cash, and about everything else they want, right? And so there's this dance of goals happening. And if you peer down a little deeper past that, you'll notice that kids really want order, structure, fairness, and direction, and consistency. We were at a amusement park, and I like bumper cars, so I'm like, "Let's bumper cars," and took kids there, and they had a little thing. Elijah was 4, and they had a thing, you know, that little kids could be on the cars too. They showed them how to do it and so forth, and so they had Elijah do it, and they gave him this little yellow slip, put his name on it, and it said driver's license on it. And we had fun, and then we're heading toward the car, and Elijah said, "I'm going to drive home." And we said no. And he goes, "But I got a driver's license. I'm going to drive home." And we had, that's a driver's license for the bumper cars. "But it's a driver's license." And we had to explain it to him. You know, "No, not quite yet. You need a different one that looks like this that you can drive." And he was disappointed, but he figured that one out. That was fine. Well, in parenting, we have this dance as we're preparing kids. And sometimes they want to do things they're not quite ready for, and so on and so forth. We dance our dance of goals. We don't bribe them or transaction. "You do what I want, you get a little bit of what you want." But we understand that they have wants and desires and needs too, as we're impressing upon our kids. So we pick our battles, so to speak, and we focus on what's important. And focus on how it's affecting them. One of those ways is that I'm putting into our life integration these 4 things that I like to give about making it real in everyday life. And I'm calling it Christian rituals. A lot of times, you know, and for me, ritual was something that really actually kind of took me away from Christ. I focused too much on the ritual and not on Christ. But you know what I realize is that family rituals make all the difference in the world. See, we're creating home culture, and that home culture begins with praying with your kids often. Pray at mealtimes and at bedtime. Pray with them often. It not only is reaching the heart of God, but it's reaching the heart of a child. It's touching them with the reality of Christ. Go to church together, even on vacation. It's a natural thing. It's part of our family tradition. It's our ritual. It's making Christ the center. Talk about it often on the rides to the car, around the dinner table. Talk about the Lord, His Word, what He's teaching you. talk about it often. And then also family symbols. Take it right out of the text. It talks about symbols. Create family symbols. Things that remind us that Christ is the center of our home. And there are a million ways you can do that. Think about it. One family I was talking with, they have mom and dad and sister and brother. And they call it their fifth chair for Christmas. Fifth chair for Christmas. I had never heard of this before. Maybe it's the most popular thing in the world in Arizona. I don't know. I've never heard of fifth chair before. But he goes to tell me, oh, yeah, we set a fifth chair during the month of December. And we take our Christmas budget and we divide it, adding another person there. And so on Christmas Day, we as a family go and we give the offering to some sort of missions gospel type of organization. And we give a gift, our family honoring Christ. And they include lots of different things over the month of December to add that fifth chair into their family ritual. And it reminds them of the centrality of Christ to their family. Well, I try to forget this part, but I used to be cool. Now I'm a parent, and not always so cool. And parents have the most difficult, rewarding, amazing, frustrating, it's the job there is. Parenting is that frustrating, amazing aspect of life. It's just completely amazing and absolutely frustrating at times. Our proudest moments are often others wouldn't even recognize who haven't been a parent, right? Look, oh, it's just amazing. What? Oh, my kid. No, it's just amazing. So, right? None of us are perfect parents, not even close. Our Heavenly Father knows that. He's our Father, parenting. And He has amazing grace available to us. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 103:14. And I actually like to put one little extra word in it. But, and it says, For He knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. I love that. I'm going to put butt dust. He remembers that we are butt dust. I like that text because it speaks to me that I'm imperfect. I am dust. I'm an imperfect person trying to do my best for Him in this world. I'm imperfect. God's grace extends to us as parents. God, who parted the Red Sea, who one day will part the sky, is powerful enough, loving enough, graceful enough to renew our homes. That is a fresh start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this marvelous role that we have on impacting the next generation. And Lord, we pray that we would be the type of people who are saying in so many ways, Lord, your servant is listening. And Lord, this morning as we come to you in worship, as we look into your word, Lord, we again renew our heart to listen to your heart. Lord, we want to see you glorified and lifted up in our home, in our church, in our community. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Renew us again today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.